What I want to talk to you about, not just preach to you, but I'll open a discussion tonight, and then I want your help, your partnership, what God has deposited in you, what He's taught you, what He's training you with, so that we all leave out of here richer. I think about 2 years ago, we had touched on this topic, not in this specific way, but I will title this, our gathering tonight, Recapturing the Primary Purpose of the Church. And that's Scott Hinkle's book. It's available. I think there's probably still some copies in our bookstore. Scott Hinkle, who ministers here once or twice a year. Recapturing the Primary Purpose of the Church. In the introduction, how many have read that book before? And I can tell you anything that's in that book, can't I? You don't know what's in it. I'm going to just make up a bunch of stuff. No, I'm kidding. The truth, what I love in the kind of the introduction of the book is that if you're a parent and you're leaving your teen in charge of the house for just a short amount of time, maybe you're going away for the entire day, but the last instructions that you give them is, I want the garage cleaned out, swept out, the floor washed off. I need that done. That's what I want you to do. And when you come home that evening and you find, and he meets you at the door and big smile on his face, says, man, welcome home. You say, great, good to be here. How did that project go that I left you to do? He said, you know what? I cleaned my bedroom. Man, it looks good. Really? Okay, good. And I took care of the dishes. I did some laundry. And you know what? If you look in the backyard, I mowed the backyard. I'm going to tell you, Mom, Dad, I did that great. Are there parents of anybody? Is there anybody here who have been parents of teens at least at one time in your life? Does this? Okay, can you relate with where I'm at so far? But you say, but what about the garage? What about that thing that we really talked about that needed to happen? Well, you know what? After I was so busy doing all of that other stuff, and when I got through with the laundry and mowing the yard and all of that other stuff, I kind of fell asleep and I took a nap and I really didn't get to the garage. How many understand there might be a problem there? When Jesus left this planet physically after the cross, after resurrection, we're about to celebrate Easter again. For Christians, Easter is every day we celebrate resurrection. But we're about to celebrate that across the world. But when he left final instructions. And it's found in Matthew 28, verse 19. And he said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. I think that word there from the Greek is ethnos. Does that sound familiar? Across every other barrier. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The primary purpose of the church is to go and make disciples. Do you see that? Am I misreading something here? And in doing that, I mean, the church has been left with those instructions. However, what we kind of got busy doing sometimes was mowing the backyard and doing the dishes and a lot of other things that didn't involve the primary purpose, which is introducing people to Jesus and helping grow them up, partnering with them, discipling them, so they in turn could go and do the same thing. Those are the two parts of the mission of Open Door. I'm not saying that we're good at it. God is helping us and seeking to grow us in those things. In recapturing our primary purpose, I found out that sometimes barriers stand between us doing that. I want to ask you three questions tonight and get your comments, your input on it. And maybe you'll help us that have slacked, got distracted because, see, I mow the grass because that's more comfortable to me. that garage thing, I don't even want to go in there. For some of you, I can do these other things. I can, and in whatever else that we're doing, I just want us to remember what the primary purpose is. It's not the good things that you're involved in the kingdom of God, your work, everything else. That's unimportant. It's important. But don't forget the primary purpose. That's letting the light of God shine through you, being a witness. Three things. I think we can put those questions up on the screen maybe at the same time. What, number one is, what are you afraid of? It's kind of, and as it involves the primary purpose, as it involves witnessing, sharing Jesus with somebody else, number one, what are you afraid of? Number two is, what is your barrier? Similar there, what's your barrier to doing that? You know, I found that most people, it's not that we hold back from sharing Jesus because we don't care about people. We care about people. If you're a child of God, you have a love that's been deposited in your heart toward people by the Holy Spirit. It's not that we don't care, but usually there's some, again, barriers. I mentioned this morning about feeling like, what if I miss it and I'm embarrassed? But what's your barrier? Number three is, what is your key? What propels you? What helps you? What's the thing that, again, makes a connection? Like I said, about 2 years ago, close to 2 years ago, I think we touched on this topic. Again, maybe some different phraseology. But would you help us? Maybe you say, well, my key has been, the release for my life has been this. Are the some key questions that open the door for me in sharing with others have been this or that? On your mark, get set, go. This is the way, raise your hand. This is the way that kind of works. What's it? You ready? Go, my brother. Right up. Nick's going to bring you a microphone. You'll get a mic first. No, we're going to get you on tape because we're going to broadcast send it to your mama. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Just playing. No, you're good.
To me, the part about what my key is, is actually waiting to somebody to ask me.
Okay.
Because that means they're ready to listen. If somebody's asking, that means they want to know what you have to say.
Okay.
Otherwise, I found that if you just open your mouth and start speaking, most people think you're preaching to them, and it shuts people down very quickly. And nowadays.
Okay. So. Okay. Thank you. Obviously, that's a wide open door. If somebody asks you, they've done put the key in the door, turned the knob, and slung the thing wide open.
I hope you didn't want me to answer all three of those questions.
Step three. No, you're fine. And you can answer one or all three, or however you want to do that. Or just put a P.S. and an addendum into those areas. Okay? And the Bible says what we read this morning from the book of 1 Peter says, be ready to give an answer for everyone that asks you about the hope that's on the inside of you. The movie God's Not Dead that I mentioned this morning that a number of you have been to see already. And it's a good movie, and it's, you know, it's the challenge between the student and the professor. Professor who is saying, I'm an atheist. The student who says, I'm a believer. And then kind of heading off some things there. We have a reasonable faith, and we should be able to declare it without having to have all of the answers that potentially could be asked. Because if you wait until you get all those, you'll never witness. You'll never step through that doorway. It will be a closed door to you. Somebody else, what's working? Kim King.
What I'm afraid of, what the enemy has used for years in my life, is that I would not do or say the right thing. I wouldn't portray what God really wanted me to say, that I would be hurtful, that I would offend, that I would. So a lot of years that really kept me to myself. Uh-huh. Not about earthly things, but definitely about godly things. So that was a huge fear, and I still struggle with that. But the key is the realization that we're just a vessel and that God can use us regardless, and he can fix even what we mess up. And he really revealed that to me through my own children. I struggle with my oldest will be 27 this year, and you know, he still is struggling with some things. And I've looked back, and I've seen where I've done some things wrong. And so I've asked God to just really come in and cover it. And what he has ministered to me is, I can go in and correct what you've messed up. And so if I'm just a willing vessel, he can teach me how to be the way that I need to be.
That's so good. That's so good. Willing to go forward. Can I tell you that you cannot steer a parked car? You can't turn a parked car. you have to be rolling for it to roll right there. So, how many relate to what she said? I'm afraid I'll say the wrong things. But listen, if we'll start there, I found that God can open that door. And Kim is one of a number of facilitators in the Overcomers group. So obviously God has helped and equipped you to overcome a lot of those fear areas that have been barriers in the past. And somebody else, what's been the barrier of the flow? Cody, back here if you'll catch that. We said this morning, do it afraid. Do it anyway. You demonstrated to be able to do that, Kim. How many others are having to do some things afraid? Outside of comfort zones and all that, but we're going to go forward. Cody?
I think something that's so important whenever it comes to sharing Jesus with others is, you know what, go ahead and do it afraid, because more than likely you're going to be nervous every time that you do. There are times that, you know what, I really feel God moving, and then there are times that I'm just going, I just want to tell you about Jesus, you know. But I think one of the most important things is realize how far you can go with somebody at a certain time. Because I know there's probably been times in my past where I've pretty much been like beating down a door trying to get somebody to realize how awesome Jesus is and how much I love him, how much he's done in my life. But especially with people that you work with, you'll be surprised. It's almost like a progressive deal where one day you might be able to go just to right here with them. And then the next time something comes around, you can go a little bit further with them. The thing about sharing Jesus with others is, you know what, many times it's progressive. Many times it happens gradually. There are going to be times that we share Jesus with people, and you know what, they make a decision right then. There may be a time, just like what the Word says about people coming along and watering that seed, that it is going to take some time. So don't ever get discouraged and think, you know what, I'm just doing this and nobody is ever hearing. Because one day you're going to see the fruit of your labor later on, and it may not be this side of eternity, but we know that that's what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask this question. Thank you for that. How many of you began your relationship with the Lord? As a result, there are, with the help or assistance of somebody else in your world that either introduced you to Jesus, witnessed to you, shared Jesus with you. Can I see hands in here? As a result of another human on this planet, that, and maybe it was your mom and dad. Maybe it was somebody else. Most in this room, it was that. And some may have just come into a church meeting or a spiritual gathering and crusade something, and God did that. But oftentimes, somebody's invited to even come to that. Somebody else over here, Mary. I think that just that it's key. It's key that we can utilize, that God will be able to utilize us as vessels to actually do that. And maybe it's one step, and then maybe it's taking it another step further. Mary?
I think a lot of times what I'm afraid of is I'm afraid of how to address someone about a certain situation. And what my barrier is that I don't want to hurt someone else's feelings, because I just want to tell them just like it is, like I normally do. So what I do, my key is to go up to someone like I've done recently and ask them for their advice and what they would do in the situation, and then pray about it before I do address that situation so God could give me that guidance to do that. And I also, I address this with, like, if I'm going to someone, like someone's coming against me and they're saying that I'm going up and telling them too much about God. Every time I go up to them, I'm telling them about God. And I'm like, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you learn how awesome God is and how important it is to have him in your life. And I'm still learning, but I know that my purpose in life is, like you said, to be a disciple and help others lead them to Christ. And the best way for us to do that is by our own actions and not let others stir us in the wrong direction.
Good, good. We have to build a platform of character for somebody to be willing to listen to us. If we're acting like we're the devil's our daddy all the time, and then people aren't going to really be receptive to listen to us talk about Jesus. And again, I don't think you have to be real preachy to share good news. I think you can, with smile and kindness and all these things, and by lifestyle, if you're working at the same job and around the same people all the time, your lifestyle has to demonstrate who Jesus is. And then at the right time, and God opens a door, and maybe he opens it through your inquiry and some things that we may talk about before we end tonight, but that can really be the catalyst to help somebody else cross over that bridge. But don't blow up the bridge by just getting in people's face and messing things up. That will be unproductive. Belle? Miss Belle.
About 3 years ago, I run across a situation, and it shocked me to the point where I didn't believe what come out of that lady's mouth. And I had to go to a church in Dothan to talk to a preacher about it. And it was a boyfriend of my granddaughter, Tiffany. He had gotten killed, and I was trying to comfort her by trying to pray with her and trying to help her see that God is a merciful God, and that if she just puts it in his hands, that it would be all right. But her answer come to me, if there is a God, why did he take my son?
Sure.
And it hurt me so bad as a Christian to know that there is people out there that does not believe in God. And that hurts me very much, because I've lived most of my life on God's terms. My life ain't been the best in the world, but God's helped me through every trial and temptation that I've ever been. He's there for you. His son is there.
Yeah.
He died upon the cross for us that we wasn't even worthy of, but he done it because he loved us.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
And to this day, Brother Ronnie, it hurts, because I've had many times that I have spoken to this woman since this happened, and she still does not believe in God.
I hope that
we keep that in our prayer. Thank you all.
Thank you. Let me talk about that for just a moment, and many of you are familiar with that already. Sometimes the depth of grief is so great, and the healing of God that's needed to go there, it's the process. And we've got a wonderful... I'm not selling books tonight. That's not my intention, but there's Life After Death by Tony Cook that's in the bookstore. Helps us learn how to minister to people in grief. And sometimes it's just being there, even not saying those things, but crossing that bridge and that depth. Was there somebody that had a hand up over here? In the middle section is right here. Cameron? No, okay. Wait a second. Just Charles. But really, we'll be careful. And yes, God needs to minister to that one. But don't, when grief has caused someone and a lack of answered questions has been a barrier. Why, God? Why? How many have unanswered why questions in your life? How many know that you can serve God with unanswered why questions? The same number of hands that are up, but not everybody understands that yet. Those why questions that we put on the shelf, God, I don't understand that. You know, you're a good God, and yet death, the enemy that the Bible says death is still operative. Not always. Book of Revelation, chapter 21, there will come a time, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, for the former things have passed away. I thank God for that day that's coming. It's not here yet. But anyway, we can help people, maybe through the love of God and through Scripture, through kindness. Again, I'm going back to that, but help them go beyond where they are. Brother Charles.
Yesterday, she was gone. A guy comes to the room and tells me, I just want to tell you and Nilsa, I appreciate what y'all do, because y'all are for real. And that really freaked me out. But she happened to call right then, so I gave her the phone. I said, well, here, you can tell her. And that same man came up to us today and reaffirmed that face to face. And I'm speaking for Sammy, too, right now. I know Sammy loves God with all his heart. I've been around him for 2 years. He knows I'm the same way. And when the guys come to us, they know there's something that we have and they want it. And we both fall short sometimes. You know, we have our days. And I'm so grateful to God that the Spirit comes upon me. I got to go make it right with that person, whoever it is, or I can't continue on heading the direction God wants me to go. What makes me happy? Working on the water. What makes me happier? Being used for purpose for God, being at the house.
Amen.
If I'm going to be real, you know, I love working on the water. That's what I've done my whole life. But I had no purpose.
Commercial fishing was referring to if you weren't aware of its past.
I have no purpose. There was no purpose, though, for me in that. And it had nothing to do with the money. There was no purpose. When them guys got a raise the other day, praise God. They've been working at Clifton for years and years at the house for minimum wage. They're starting at $9 an hour. I was more overjoyed than them. I was walking down the hall, man, just in the Spirit of God, man. Thank you, Jesus, man. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. And it keeps me going on, Ronnie, being out there. For that little knock on the door yesterday when that gentleman came to the room, it just takes them three or four guys to, in other words, encouraging me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Amen. So a key for you. Thank you. Thank you, Cameron, right here in the middle. And then Jordan. So one of the keys that you have is somebody encouraging you and reminding you of your purpose getting fulfilled up in Jesus. Amen. Good. And can we do that for one another? I believe we can encourage one another in spiritual things. And I see the faithfulness of many of these youth right here. Can I tell you, bless me. You bless me. I see the developing, the growth that's happening. And then others, people that may be working behind the scenes. I think it's good that we can use our own words like that brother did to y'all to encourage you on the journey. We can do that for each other too. Cameron, you go.
Woo. Okay. Well, I think what most teenagers are afraid of is telling their peers about God. Like, that's not really a normal thing in high school, talking about God and, like, having a strong relationship with God. That's not considered cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think really the key is whenever you're telling teenagers about God and whenever you're trying to just show them God's love is just to be respectful and nice, you know? Be open-minded to what they have to say, because if you treat them the way you want to be treated and be open-minded to what they have to say, they're going to be open-minded to what you have to say.
By open-minded, you mean respectful.
Yeah, be respectful.
What? You're listening. You're listening to them. You're being respectful. Open-minded doesn't mean that you embrace all the ideas that they want to throw at you.
Not agreeing. You don't have to agree with what they say, but just being a person who can listen and being compassionate is enough to change somebody's heart.
Good. Because we get an avenue back to speak the truth. As a teen in high school in the next district over in Conley District, God had put in my heart a passion to be a witness. I was petrified. I didn't know how to do it. I don't know how to start it. I was loving Jesus, but a starting point for me, and I challenge you guys again. I've done it a number of times, but when somebody said, start carrying your Bible to school. And senior year, that's what I did. I carried my Bible to school. You're talking about opening some doors? I mean, not all of them will be favorable doors, but some of them will. And you get to, so you kind of get to share Jesus sometimes in more of a public setting than you were comfortable to do in a classroom because you had the book. It's that book. I mean, you carry any other book, but that book, it kind of stirs something. It's living words, you know, in there. But overall, very positive. In that, and then over time, you know, people gave me other keys like you're sharing tonight. Somebody else? Keys, barriers, purposes,
hey.
Right here.
Hey.
Right there, Jordan. Hi. I said you. Thank you for keeping ahead of me.
I feel like my problem is I'm worried that what I have to say is not going to be important to anybody. They're not going to want to hear what little old Jordan has to say.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember that it was someone's testimony that changed my life and made me think that I should change what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's what changes everybody is our testimonies. And so my story and my testimony is going to be important, whether I think what I have to say is important or not. A testimony for how you changed to God and how he changed your life is life-changing, and how could it not be important to somebody else? If it was important to me, it's got to be important to others.
Yeah.
So.
It's good. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You got a story to tell. If Jesus, if you've been born again, you have a story to tell. There were two hands over here. Linda on the way over there. Sister Linda.
It's kind of funny because this is a good, real good subject to be on. Because I have some future ministry that I plan to do. And these same three questions I've been thinking about for like the last month.
That's
I'm trying
cool.
to get the courage up. That's what I've been trying to do. Number one is what I'm afraid of. The only thing I think about that I'm afraid of is they're going to ask me something like, that I can't answer. That's mm-hmm. what I'm. That's what I'm mm-hmm. afraid of. And then something else I'm afraid of is I don't. I know the word and I read my Bible, but I don't know it like I should, and I don't know it enough. So that's stopping me because it's like I don't know enough. On this side, to go and tell somebody else as far as the word, because I don't know enough about the word myself as far as that aspect.
Yes.
As far as I have no barriers. My key is what I plan to use as a key. You know how people are. You always give them a good story, start off with a good story. And like Jordan said, what I was thinking, testimonies.
Cause, yes.
You know, people, especially where I plan on going is going to be the buses.
Okay.
Ministering on the buses.
Okay.
And I know people sitting on the bus, and I ride the bus, and I look at all these people, and they just ride, and I say, well, they don't have nothing else to do. I should tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
So I'll be thinking about this. So I've told some of the ladies here at the church, but the only thing, okay, then another excuse I'm using, which is not an excuse,
What?
Oh, I take that back. Not excuse, a reason.
Another excuse I'm using. Okay, yeah. I love you. People are honest on Sunday nights. I don't know where the rest of the people are, but just another excuse for not doing it. Okay.
Well, another reason was I'm trying to get my teeth fixed, so I figured I'd wait till after I get my teeth fixed. Nobody wants to see somebody rag their mouth on the bus while they're talking, so I figured I'd say,
ain't no reason to wait.
Listen to me, no way, because they figured, well, she ain't got no teeth, so why should we listen to her?
Ain't no reason to wait. Just bust out. It's all right.
Yeah. So I was waiting until I was going to get that done in a couple of months. So I said, well, I'm getting my teeth done. I'm going to be ready for sure. So I get on the bus and I said, well, no, I'm going to go on and do it this week. So I'll be sitting there. I'll be looking around. And some people look mad. Some people look sad. Some people look. So I said, well, then I do it. But I figured I'm going to do it, but when I get ready to do it, I figure God will be with me, and as much as I talk, I'm sure I ain't going to have no problem.
I believe that we can just help you bust out starting this week on the bus. And I believe, let me free you up with something, because some of us have those barriers, the same one you said. Well, I'm afraid they'll ask me something I don't know. I don't know all, I read the Bible, but I don't know all I need to know. I have a simple answer, and I've used it so many times when somebody asks something that I don't know, and it's simply this: I don't know. Try that. I don't know. I love it what one of the women ministering in the jail had shared. One of the women in the cell asked some theological question. And the woman that from Open Door that was ministering in the jail said, you know, I don't know about that. But what I do know is, don't let what you don't know keep you from sharing what you do know. We know enough. When that blind man was healed, and the theologians of that day came and they were interrogating him because they didn't want to, this man was, Jesus had healed his eyes. And, well, who healed you? Finally, the man says, all of this stuff, I don't know. What I do know is once I was blind and now I can see. There's an answer. Once I was lost and now I'm found. Once I was without purpose and now I know Jesus lives in my heart and filled me up with his purpose, joy, and all that. And yes, I still got problems and all this stuff, but here it is. So we have an answer. So I just say, before you do any more dental work or anything else, just go ahead and kick that door open and see what God did. I'm sorry, it's a couple of folks over here, Nick, on this side. You can do this. Somebody, you have all them pearlies shining, they might say, I'm intimidated now. This one was talking to me. You're going with where you are, Connie.
I know y'all will not believe this, but I used to be a very shy person. And that, I know, but God, That is very true. I know you won't believe me, but it's true. But see, God did a work in my life. And I was a very rejected and depressed woman. But when Jesus Christ came in and changed me from the inside out, I don't have any more barriers, and I'm not afraid of nothing. And what number three, what my key was to ask God to give me a spiritual boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's done for his glory.
Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 4, somebody brought it up in Sunday school, and somebody back here had Jeff did. And brought it up, Acts chapter 4, I think it's around verse 32. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. God, fill us up with a boldness. And I believe that prophetic word said was something about that. The interpretation this morning was by the Holy Spirit to be filled up with his power and boldness. So after this Sunday night, let this be the marker, the starting gate, the gun go off, pow, start running. See where God will open up. Be intentional. Be intentional about looking. And I believe God will alert us. Okay, there it is. And some of you are doing that. You're very intentional. Some of us are more timid about it. But if we'll say intentionally, God, what do you want right now? I give myself to you today. Lead me, show me where you want me to be. And you may be pumping gas at the gas station. Next station, next pump over, just say, how are you doing today? See if God's opening up something. You don't have to bust down every door, but be aware of those doors that are swinging open. Brother Jeff.
Well, I've got several things that, you know, I'm afraid of, and several of them have been voiced out here, you know, like the rejection, the wrong thing, even my appearance. You know, we all have several things that we're afraid of mm-hmm. and keep us from doing it. But the thing that causes me to get over my fear is the fear of what if I don't? You know, what's going to happen to this person or, you know, absolutely. If I don't do what God's leading me to do, then what if I don't? The thing that is my barrier has more to do with, you know, my job and my responsibility within the job. Uh-huh. And leadership, you know, when I speak, I'm really blessed to have a company that supports me. If mm-hmm. I choose to speak about Jesus in a setting with an employee, then, you know, the company is going to back me up. I know they've got my back. I've never had a situation where, you know, when it was addressed, well, you know, he brought these religious ideas out during this meeting. You know, they always supported me instead uh-huh. of the other way. But that's one thing that in my mind, you know, being politically correct, you know, kind of goes through your mind when you're talking. But along those lines, that's my key for what brings me out. If I hear someone who is believing something wrong or that's doing wrong, or has misinterpreted something out of the Bible, you know, even people say that, you know, that's what you believe or that's your reality, you know, there's only one reality. And God tells us the truth. If they're believing a lie, then, you know, I believe God has given me the truth to be able to tell them. A lot of times what comes up in the work environment I am in uh-huh. is, you know, men living with women. And, you know, to let them know, well, that's just not the way God designed it. You know, one guy says, well, I'm trying it out. Well, no, you don't. It's not something designed to be tried out. It's mm-hmm. something to be committed. It doesn't work without the commitment. Mm-hmm. So it's just things like that that cause me to rise up on the inside to want to say something.
Sure, sure. And I'm not so cautious on political correctness, and I don't think you are either. But I think we can all pray and understand that wisdom, right back here, Trevor, all of us, I think, can understand the need for wisdom. God give me wisdom on how to word something this way. Again, not to build a barrier, but to build a bridge to somebody's world or life in this situation, and how far do I need to go, and then wisdom, if you're in a supervisory capacity, wisdom to operate there and to differentiate. Thank God for the gracing of God that enables you to do that, Jeff, and others here as well. Trevor.
Yeah, you know, I want to say, though, you know, what I think, you know, really honestly, and what I know, is, you know, it says in the Bible, claim his name boldly. You shouldn't be worried about what these people think, because you're activating and you're messing around with a power that is so real. But like for that girl, I don't know who it was, mentioned about high school and being afraid to go into high school about it. if you just take that leap of faith and walk in with courage and do something like that, you'd be surprised how many blessings would come of it. You don't know who's going to be affected. You don't know who's watching. Yeah, sure, some people are going to judge you, I bet, but you can be sure of that. But put all that aside, man. Who cares what they think? You're doing something a whole lot bigger than you realize, and there's people that might have needed that. You might open a door for some new friendships. You just don't know, you know, but that goes with me now, too, you know. I'm using it, too. You know, I claim it boldly now because I know what he's done in my life.
Sure.
It's a very, very real thing. And, you know, when you get serious with it, the blessings will come. I promise you. Life will be so much smoother. You're still going to have troubles, but life, just the troubles, the main hurdles, they're so much smoother. It's very real.
You're thankful for what the Lord has done in your life, and you're excited enough to tell somebody else about it. Amen.
Real.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you. When we, and Joey, right there in front of him. Go right ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, nope, you're fine.
Along the lines of testimony, I know there's plenty of folks in here who've had miracles happen in your life. You know, you could talk about what God did in Egypt, you know, part of the Red Sea, and all the plagues and everything
sure.
that he did there. But to a lot of people, that just seems so far away. If you've had miracles in your life, bring that to today, in today's world, and share what God has done with you, has done for you. I've had a few in my life and shared them. And what that does, either they're just going to call you a flat-out liar, or they're going to be, you know, they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
When it's real right there today, then there's not a, it stops some of the arguments for sure.
Uh-huh.
And on the hindrance side, I tend to be, look at things, I tend to see things black and white. And I'm a timid guy, so I don't come right out and say it. So when I do let loose, I really let loose sometimes. So anyway, anyhow.
Good. Tell them again what God has done over in Forsyth, what God has done in your life. And maybe it's a simple thing. I mentioned this morning a phrase that I've heard repeated over, but a man with, or a woman with an experience is not at the mercy of a person who merely has an argument. Because I've already experienced this thing in the Lord. You can tell me, well, theologically, you know, well, this is God, the Holy Spirit doesn't move. But let's see, you don't understand what I've already experienced in God. And it, did I do something weird? I'm sorry. And just take that. My brother, go ahead.
How y'all doing tonight? I'm a guest of y'all's church, so this
Thank
is fairly
you for
new
being
to
here.
Me. And I've been sitting here for 15 minutes wondering if I should say something. It's been on my heart.
Good.
It's coming up on a year for me for being saved and being, having my relationship with Jesus. And
yeah, hallelujah.
Appreciate it.
We'll celebrate with you.
What's been, you know, what I'm afraid of is I have some very dear friendships that I've carried my entire life that my religious beliefs are starting to come in between, and it's starting to become,
sure.
you know, I know what direction I'm going to go, but I know it's not going to be easy. I've learned that the narrow road's the road I want to follow.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure what I should do because these guys are good guys. They don't have their priorities straight. They don't have God.
Yes.
Some don't have God in their lives. Some have him in their life, but they're not really sure what they're doing.
Yep.
And my problem is, you know, what should I do? And I've asked God this question, and I think there's a reason why I came here tonight because this has been bothering me for a while.
Good.
And the church that I normally go to, we really don't do stuff like this. So
okay.
I think I was here for a reason tonight because this is something that's been bothering me, and I was just kind of curious what your opinion was on it.
Good. Thank you guys for coming tonight and worshiping with us. I honor that and then bringing that question. And by experience of many of these people here and ourselves too, is sometimes there's a barrier that is naturally going to be there because you're going different directions and the fork in the road is there. And in your part, I'm still loving you, but you know what? I'm going this way. And sometimes because of seeing Jesus in you, living on the with the joy of the Lord, the love of God in you, they're going to still be watching
And it may be a time of separation even, but that testimony that you are establishing in your journey in God in this year, almost a year, you know, is going to be a light to them. It can be that that comes back around. How many of you, maybe that was your experience, that you knew somebody that was influenced, but you went the other way, and then you came back to Christ? Can I see hands in here? That was, look around, be encouraged right in here, right in here. And it's not you rejecting them, but you know, you're not going that way anyway. You're not doing some of those same things that they're involved in. And I still love people sometimes. And can I use Connie and I went to school together. Back in those days, we were running exactly opposite directions. And I'm not dogging her. She'll do that to herself. But well, she'll tell her own testimony, and I'll leave it for her to tell. But over a lot of years, and certainly I'm not the only influence in her life at all, but I'm so thankful that God brought her to himself, brought her to this church. So my brother, I just say be encouraged. Understand then that sometimes there's separations that come on the journey. Some of those can come back around if they come, but you make sure that you're not vacillating in that journey. Don't let the enemy use that to be a pull away from the things and purposes of God in your life. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for asking and sharing, my brother, right there.
I like to think that I'm among family and friends, though I'm fairly new here to the house.
Yes, sir, you are.
And just being transparent, I became a Christian in 2008 in prison. I just finished doing a 26-year sentence.
Wow.
And shortly after I became a Christian, they moved this guy in my house, and he was real intelligent. You know, he read all these great big old books that had these big old $17 words in them. You know, they were real long.
Yes.
He was real philosophical. He had all the right answers for all the right things.
Yeah.
And one day he came in, and I was reading, as usual, reading my word. And it just so happens I was reading about the prophet that was telling him, okay, look here. You call on Baal, and then we're going to call on God over here, and he's going to show up. The real God is going to show up by fire.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading that, and he was like, man, you know, there ain't no God. There really isn't no God. You know, you're just wasting your time. You know, you just live life, man. You just do what you do.
Uh-huh.
And he rattled me. You know, he had, like I said, he had all the right words.
Yes, yes.
I was fresh in my walk. So I didn't know how to answer to him,
uh-huh.
You know. And up until this point, God had not spoke to me in a way I can say, okay, that was him.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, you grow up and you hear your mom and your dad and your grandparents, well, God told me this and God told me that.
Yes.
So I got by myself and I was like, God, I need you to talk to me. You know, you yes, talk to everybody yes. else. Talk to me. Let me know good. What's going on. Don't talk to mama for me. Talk to me. And one day I was coming home from work, and I was on the sidewalk. It's raining. It's cold. All the windows to the buildings are closed. And I heard my name just as clear as I'm talking in this microphone.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm looking around. And, you know who said that? And the Spirit of God let me know that it was him talking to me. And all he told me was to tell him what you feel in your heart. I went and I told my cellie, I said, well, you say there ain't no God. I said, I'm going to give you a situation. Just suppose, for your sake, suppose there is, and you haven't tried to live for him. You haven't tried to do anything right.
Uh-huh.
You know, just suppose there is. I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm going to get a chance to say, I told you, see you, you know, like that. And he looked at me and he was like, you might be right. You might be right. I said, I just might be. Well, needless to say, to make a long story short, I left prison about 3 months ago. Up until about a year ago, he's one of the Sunday school teachers at our school at prison.
Hallelujah. So
that's how that worked.
Becky, would you slip up? How beautiful. Just suppose that what I'm telling you is right. Just suppose that God is really real, that he really did send his son. Just suppose. Planted a doubt in the intellect of a man who was opposed to God. Emily, right up here. Nick, just up ahead of you.
Thank you for sharing that. And you are among family here and friends. I'm glad you're here.
I think what I've always been afraid of was being that weird girl. Because most of my opportunities to share Jesus has come through school, my college career. And that was something I had never really experienced before I went to Baylor. And talking about Jesus is okay. And I didn't find just an opportunity to share Jesus. I found an opportunity to share being filled with the Spirit and stuff like that.
Yes.
And that's something that people sometimes are like, whoa, that, you know, that's weird.
Uh-huh.
And I think that really always held me back because I didn't want to be that girl. And I think what my key was, part of my key was I hate to disappoint people. And the thought of disappointing God and disobeying him when I feel that tug on my heart to say something, just, it yeah. makes me sick yeah. to think that I could have said something and I didn't. Not only am I disappointing God, but I could have helped somebody. And another part of that is, this is who I am. God is who I am. Yeah. Living in him is who I am. And not only does that teach people boundaries with me if I share it, but that gives people an open door, somebody to come up to me and say, hey, you're that girl that goes to church, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, I am. Uh-huh. Do you need to talk about something?
Yes.
And I found that that has been one of the biggest game changers, is it doesn't matter if I'm weird because I'm going to heaven. So you know what? I'm weird and happy, and that's okay.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. We'll kind of conclude this, but listen, there's so many people. Bible says, and I think my brother mentioned over there, there's a narrow way and there's a broad way. And the Bible says, Jesus said, fewer are going to be on the narrow way. More will be on the broad way. We are in the process of helping people get off the broad way to hell and away from God and onto the narrow way of walking with Jesus. And let a passion on the inside of us motivate us to go forward this way. And I don't let somebody go to hell on our watch. I mean, you can't make somebody love Jesus, serve God, but we can offer. And that's our part. My brother, go ahead.
You know, to stay in what he was saying a while ago about coming to this church. When I first walked in this church 2 years ago, I felt like I walked into a family.
Hallelujah.
You know, I didn't get no mistreated or weird looks or anything like that. And I come to Waco to come to this church.
Amen.
You know, and I had to drive a long way.
Y'all live way out of town.
And I had to drive a long way to get here. But I love this church, and I represent this church in my town.
You
know,
amen.
You know, like you said, this is a home.
Amen.
Enjoyed every bit of it too.
Thank you. Appreciate when you guys can come and visit. And we have family here, so it gives you a good excuse to come. Probably about 7 or 8 years ago. Tell this story. I'll try to be very brief with it. I want to encourage somebody with it. I think it was about 7 years ago, maybe just a little more, getting an inspection sticker on my daughter's car across the street at the Quick Lube place. There's a guy out front, and he had he had on one of the work uniforms, but he was either on break or his day off. He was up there, and I just went out and kind of started talking to him. And I'm going to tell you that if you'll start a conversation, sometimes you can just see where it'll go over just a matter of a few minutes. And I don't always tell people I'm a pastor. Sometimes that's intimidating, or they will turn them off. I'm just somebody. I'm somebody who loves Jesus. Amen. Anybody else in here loving Jesus? That's the qualifier of us being in the kingdom. I mean, we're walking with the Lord. But I started talking to this guy I knew and found I'd been in some trouble, and alcohol and stuff was had a lot of wrecking his life and just stuff happening. And I just offering him an invitation to church. Listen, I want to tell you, Sister Linda and everybody else, we've got brochures here. They're little trifold, real simple things. They're color, but they're nothing fancy. But it'll tell about kids' ministry, and it'll tell about youth ministry, and it'll tell about the food pantry, and it'll tell just a brochure about the church. Welcome to Church at the Open Door. On the back is a prayer to pray about receiving Jesus in Scripture and tell what time things are happening. Gives a website. Take some of those with you. If you're ladies, put them in your purse. Put a few of those in your purse. People have handed out thousands of these invitation cards. They're business card size. It says you're invited to Church of the Open Door. Put some of those in your pocket. Then you're talking to someone on the bus, and you may just say, hey, you're going to church somewhere? Let me give you one of these. You'll hand them out at the food pantry all the time. It's a conversation starter that begins to open a door. For Rex, that was the man's name over at the Quick Lube place. I invited him over to Open Door. He didn't say, well, man, I really want to come give my heart to Jesus. No, he was dead. Party scene and junk, but it was a time in his life. But somewhere within the next several weeks, Rex walked in that back door over there, and he sat in that section. The end of the service, Rex, he's about my size. He walked down this aisle, man, and he gave his heart to the Lord. It's just incredible. I love that time. He just made a decision, and the Lord. What I did not know in that conversation was that within a matter of a few weeks, Rex would have a vehicle accident. The accident wasn't fatal at all. It just did some things. Had to have some major surgery on his leg, but at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, and it seems like I talked to him on the phone or checking on him right before the surgery. Rex never woke up from the table. Rex went to be with the Lord. And I'm with somebody else who said, I don't want to miss that opportunity to share Jesus because I've missed him in the past. And when you go back and it's too late, what could I have said or done? Listen, I'm not trying to heap guilt on anybody. And thank God I missed so many witnesses and opportunities and walk away. God, forgive me when my fear and all the other stuff. I say, now let the fire of God some way. Would you take a chance on maybe being rejected? Would you take a chance on maybe not having the right answer or being embarrassed even? I think the risk is worth it. I mean, we get equipped and we'll learn. And if there are people like your buddies that you walk with, they're just going to be watching you, and you'll pick your times. You'll pick the open doors that come. But there are times that'll be on a bus or bus stop or in school or a situation that's going to come up that God will just swing a door open wide. See, because it's God's business. He commissioned us. He didn't say, go do it on your own. He said, remember, read Matthew 28 one more time. It's the last two verses of the entire book of Matthew. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, therefore make disciples of all the nations. He said, remember this last part of verse 20, Matthew 28, 20. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Could you think that if you knew Jesus is with you, you could have boldness enough to go tell somebody? I think so. Wow. Let's do this thing together. The empowerment of God. Again, one more thing, and I'm closing. But how? I cannot figure out why God leaves us on this planet apart from sharing Jesus with somebody else. What I'm saying, if in the last few weeks when people have come to Christ, given their hearts and lives to Him, wouldn't it be a lot better if He just raptures us up right then? You know, go to be with the Lord right then. Whoop, 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 whoop. There's a reason that doesn't happen generally. It's so that we can, I believe, the commission, do the commission until He comes. The Bible says, do business, occupy till I come. It literally means do business till I come, Jesus said. Jesus is coming, like that, again, that prophetic word this morning, and the Bible says that Jesus is coming. Where our business is to help others get into the kingdom of God and then partner together, going there to get together. I do not want to think about going to heaven alone. And you cannot take your stuff with you, your CDs, your bank accounts. I'm not talking about your round CDs, youth. I mean your deposit, certificates of deposit, your money. You can't take your bank account, your stocks, your bonds. You can just take folks with you. I want folks going with us, don't you? Amen. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand up with us tonight? Worship team, if you're getting ready to sing. Derek and Cynthia, it's so good to see you guys tonight. Derek thought I was fixing to call him to sing. He said, I'll sing. What are you doing? I'm kidding. Listen, thank all of you for being here. Listen, what I'd like to do is close this time out together with a time of worship. And if you want to, and tonight is a night that maybe something was stirred in you that said, you know what, I think I can do that. I think that every child of God in here can be a witness. And a witness, witnessing is not just what we do, it's who you are. Be a witness, not do witnessing. Doing witnessing comes out of being. And what I'm saying is just letting Jesus fill you. And then he gives you the opportunities. Watch how that will open up this week intentionally. God opportunities, divine appointments that will happen. And as they sing this song, we worship in this song, can you intentionally, Lord, I present myself to you. You set me up for the opportunities you have this week, and give me just enough boldness to take that opportunity. And watch what God will do. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship yet with Jesus, you can have it before you walk out of this place. Prayer team, can I get about six of you to come up here to the front and just be available to pray with folks? If you want to step out from where you are, you want to kneel before the Lord up here at the front, or you want to stand, that you're welcome to do that. Go ahead and help us worship. Worship. Take this 3 or 4 minutes right here and worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you are, Lord. Yes, you are. Just present it to the Lord.
So loving and so true.
Your voice.
So powerful.
Your influence.
In all you do.
Fill me.
You fill me.
Yeah, yeah.